This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's that at the foot of my bed? It's spooky and kooky. I'm pretty sure it's dead. It's coming this way. Wait a minute.
Hey, boo! It's me, Roz. So excited for today's episode, but before we get into that, I went to the Facebook group called Ghosted by Roz Dresvales, a great place to leave ghost stories. And you know who just did that? Becky did that. And Becky has got a real doozy for us, and I'm hoping to get Becky on one of these listener episodes, because Becky's got stories. Okay, listen to this one. When I was about 12 years old and about to start 7th grade, my mom moved us to a townhouse in Lancaster, California. We moved there from San Diego. It was a culture shock, to say the least. The house wasn't particularly old or remarkable, pretty much your standard track homes. We certainly weren't expecting any of the events that were to occur within its walls. When we got settled, the television began to start flipping through channels on its own. We could have possibly explained that away, but it would stop on command. Ooh, that's spooky. One night, we went to dinner and then made a stop at the local Music Plus. Yes, I'm that old. I scored 2 new cassette tapes and couldn't wait to get home to listen to them. We pulled into the garage. I jumped out the back seat and ran into the house while my parents were still unfastening the belts on my little brother's car seat. As I start to ascend the stairs with thoughts of new Morrissey and new order music bouncing in my head, something stops me dead in my tracks. I feel pressure in my chest and I feel frozen. I look up. And I see the shadow of what seems to be a tall man coming down the top of the stairs towards the landing on the opposite wall. I'm standing just beyond the landing itself, and I can hear his heavy footsteps as he takes each step closer. I spin around and bolt the stairs toward the garage where my family is still making their way into the house from the car. I'm clearly hysterical, and I tell them, "Someone's in the house!" I didn't even consider anything paranormal. I was convinced this was an intruder. My mom gets my brother back in his seat and jumps in the driver's side. She starts the car, and I jump in the back seat. Then my stepdad tells me to stay in the running car in case we have to drive away fast. He makes his way inside the house. I was shaking, waiting for him to chase the stranger out of our home. A few minutes go by, and he emerges from inside. His expression is that of total confusion. He tells us he looked everywhere, and there is nobody inside. Not an open window, nothing moved, not a soul. I didn't believe him. It couldn't be possible. I saw a something. This wasn't a mist or a cloud. The thing I saw was solid. It had weight and was moving toward me. We all went into the house cautiously. The air was thick, but no human was in the house with us. I never slept well in that house. This is only one of many unexplained things I experienced in that house. I was very relieved when we finally moved. Oh my God, Becky, we want to hear all of them. That's scary. I love the idea of a ghost that's like, we're going to watch what I want to watch tonight on TV. Click. That is so funny, but also scary. Thank you for sharing that. I am so excited to share with you yet another conversation that I have had with Sam Pancake. Now, Sam is my best friend. He is an actor. He has been on so many iconic TV shows. He's currently on your mom's favorite TV show called A Million Little Things on ABC. He plays Carter. I know it's my mom's favorite TV show. She could not get enough of it. And the two of us, we've had many experiences. We used to host a podcast together. We used to host a stage show together. We've done so many shows. And we're genuinely really, really close friends. And it leads us to all different kinds of adventures. And so in today's episode, you'll hear about a couple of those. And also, we recently decided that we're going to go to Las Vegas. And of course, I want to like go to spooky places and just, you know, kooky and fun little places in Vegas. So I'll be doing that very soon within the next few weeks. And so if anybody has it, like, you know, like spooky places that we can go, let me know. I definitely want to check out a few. Of course, I know about the Haunted Museum. I'm nervous, but we'll see. Maybe I'll bring my crystals and we'll go check it out. But yeah, let me know if you know of any fun, spooky places that we might be able to check out while in Vegas. And on Patreon, so it's that time of the month where I do my reviews of allegedly haunted eBay dolls. So you can check out that video on my first tier. And on my second tier, we've got sort of a longer clip than usual. We decided to do like a, you know, we sat down, Sam and I, and we told the story of when we encountered somebody, a trespasser, before they murdered an innocent person. And it's a true story. It's so scary. I did tell this story one time early on in the pandemic. You know, you might remember if you were listening back then, I did a couple of mini episodes, and I've since taken them down. The audio was bad. I was trying to figure out how to record while in quarantine, but I did tell my side of the story. Now, Sam has like way more details because Sam actually met with detectives more than I did. And the story is, we get into the story in more detail, but basically someone trespassed on the property where he was living, and we shooed this person away. And then we found out within hours or so, he trespassed onto someone else's property and killed them. Yeah. So, trigger warning, it is, you know, we talk about murder. I'm weird about talking about murder, but, you know, it's still spooky. And I'm a human. I'm interested in murder, whether I like to admit it or not. And, it's a juicy story, and, it's unfortunate that somebody died, but, you know, We only know so much about the actual murder, but we know our side of the story. So you can hear us retelling that side of the story. And in today's episode, we have like a slight mention to some a little bit of murder, and so that's just a little trigger warning on that. Also, we talk about the Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, which, that doesn't feel like the right word to use anymore. I know that that's what it's called. It's, you know, a famous haunted place. I guess it's called the Lunatic Asylum. I don't like say, I feel like that word doesn't feel good to say anymore, but that's what it's called. So in case you're wondering, that's how I know it. I tried Googling, like it's had other names, but I think that's basically what it's called. So, I hope you enjoyed this conversation with repeat guest, first time conversation here. But Sam was on the podcast early on, 2 years ago, probably almost, or something like that. So here he is, my best friend, Sam Pancake, on with the show. Oh my God. I am joined today by my platonic life partner, back for his second visit, Sam Pancake. Hello.
Hello, Roz. How are you? I'm happy to be back.
I know. I'm so good. I'm not sure if this is true. Uh-oh. But in
like Uh-oh. Most, like Here we most, go.
Like most things I talk about on this podcast, like any fact that ever comes out of my mouth, I'm not sure if this is true, but I feel like you were the first person I ever recorded with
for
this
so.
Show. Like we were trying to figure it out, and we ended up posting that like right when the show first came out. So people could still go back and listen to when you were on the show before.
When was that? That was like
late 80s. I don't even know.
Okay.
This point.
Before you were born. It was, you were not born yet. And we did a podcast together.
Yeah. I can't believe it. I've had like over 100 people on the show now.
Jeepers.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
But okay. So the last time you were on, we covered a great story about your friend's apartment in Los Feliz, and there was a ghost. And I think about that story all the time because it's about, like, it brings up this idea of, like, a ghost, like, someone passing in a building, but their ghost finding their way to another part of the building.
Yeah.
I never get that out of my head.
Yeah. And because my friend who it was happening to, of the two women, my friend and her roommate, the person they talked to, the shaman or the spirit guide, whoever helped them do the ceremony to ask the spirit to leave, said that the presence the spirit was attaching to my friend, Joni, because she was similar, and it was of the three people that died in that building within a month, it was the husband who committed suicide after his wife died of cancer, and the wife resembled somehow Joni. And that was what the spirit guide, I don't know the medium. I'm not sure what word. This is a 1989 or 90. So maybe even 88. So I can't remember what term that was used, but yeah. So, you know, it kind of just got up in her. And it was, for me, one of the first times that I had a close friend. She was my boss at the time and a very close friend, and we're still friends, though she lives in Vegas now. Have that experience of like, started out, it's just like weird. Is there a rat in the kitchen? Is it mice? Mm-hmm. And then like pots and pans banging, things, you know, jiggling around in cabinets and cupboards, and then moving into the dining room and slowly making its way down the hall, and just these two women who were just trying to live their lives and then dealing with these presences whispering in their ears at night, you know.
Ew.
And again, these are two women who it's just, you'd have to know them to know they're not people who would like make this shit up, you know what I'm saying? They were like these kind of tough, sassy, came to LA to be actors, a little past their prime, you know. I say that in a loving way, like they weren't I don't mean past their prime, that's not good to say, but I'm like, they'd been around.
Yeah,
they were ladies who enjoyed a cocktail, and they had been around, and you know, it was not, I guess in my mind, someone who you would think be like, oh my God, guys, there's a spirit in
me.
My
you.
Me.
There's a spirit in my
just
china cupboard.
To say it. No. I put you in the hard drinking old lady category any day of the week. Are you kidding me? Hired over the hill pastor prime broad. That's you.
Okay. Before this turns into a fight.
Those are all compliments for me, and you know it.
I know it is. Another thing that we talked about the last time you were on, and again, anyone listening, if you haven't heard it, go back to the beginning of the feed and you'll hear more about this.
We cover a lot of territory.
Yeah, we do. Plus, you and I did a lot of stereo, which we love. And so we've talked a lot about our ghost stories together. And of course, as being best friends, we talk about this stuff all the time. But another thing we talked about the last time you were on was doing the San Francisco ghost tour.
Yes.
Which San Francisco for you and I guess makes us feel like
ghost-y.
We're just two paranormal investigators. Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Evie, please. Ed and Lorraine Pancake Hernandez.
We every time we go to San Francisco, which has been, I guess just twice now.
Feels like more.
It does.
Well, there was a couple times we were supposed to go and then we didn't. So maybe those are in my head too.
Right. The last time we went was mere moments before the pandemic took
over. Hours before. Like literally like last weekend of February 2020.
Well, what it was, yes, we went, I guess it was the next weekend, I did my live show in LA, and what I did was I had taken a video of you and I doing our little amateur ghost hunt.
Which I still haven't seen.
Oh, I'll send it to you. It's also on Patreon for anyone that wants to see the two of us trying to find ghosts at a hotel in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But I think I've talked a little bit about that story, but it's fun to hear your side as well. So we ended up at this hotel. So we decided to go up to San Francisco. And
gonna do a road trip. We've been before. Like I have said repeatedly, I'm so grateful we did it because I'm always like 1 foot in, 1 foot out with road trips because in my life, I don't know if like I'm going to get a job, but like there was, or like, should I spend the money on this? Like any like, you know, performer, actor, freelance person or whatever. And though I'm glad we pulled the trigger and went because we couldn't go anywhere for a year except for I had to travel to Vancouver for work, but that's different. But there were certainly no road trips for a year.
Right. But you were in charge of booking a hotel.
Yes.
And we did not have the intention to stay in a haunted hotel.
No.
Because, you know, famously, I love the idea of a haunted hotel. I don't want to stay in a haunted hotel necessarily. At least not a haunted room. It's not like...
Overnight, no. No, you want to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. And so you chose this place called the Hotel Whitcomb. Mm-hmm. And I instantly...
Well, I remember I booked it through Orbitz. And then... Yes, ladies and gentlemen, watch me talk over my younger sister. It's a story of my life. I will interrupt and talk over.
It's okay.
No, because I'm just like, I'm just telling it in order because I was like, I'll take care of the hotel. I got it. I'm going to put us in someplace cool in San Francisco. Because the last time we went, we stayed at my friend's house like an hour outside and we would drive in. And like,
right.
We could have probably stayed there again, but like, it's just too much. And we wanted to be in the city, which is expensive, so we wanted a good deal. So I was like, beep, bop, boop, found this place.
Found Orbitz. And you, thank you, William Shatner. Is William Shatner the spokesperson?
That was Priceline. That was Priceline.
Whoops.
And then I sent it to you, and you were like, oh, wait a minute, and continue with your end of the story.
Oh, well, I did the thing that I do anytime I go anywhere ever, which is I Google a place that I'm about to go with the word haunted afterward, or ghost. Or I also do it to anybody that I meet that is in the public eye.
If they're haunted,
I type in their name with ghost after, hoping that there might be some article about them talking about a ghost. And then I go, "Hey, you want to go on my podcast?" Anyway, always on my toes, always looking for content,
always working.
But so I happen to do that with the Hotel Whitcomb, and when I Google the Hotel Whitcomb, it's with the word haunted afterward, it came up like all these like weird websites talking about how it has like this crazy history and it's, some believe it's haunted. And
well, it used to be City Hall or...
Yes, in the famous earthquake, you know, 1906.
Don't say it was zero was born, I will kill you.
They used it as... a place to house people, I believe. Or no, it was
jail?
City Hall. It was
City Hall.
Damn it. You know what? If you go to the Patreon video, I did my research for that video.
There you go.
So it has a long history. It's an old building. I couldn't
Gorgeous.
Find any like confirmed like reasons to believe that it would be haunted, other than the fact that it's an old hotel, so of course it's haunted, right? So we finally get there and
It's old in that, because people also probably know this, in that 1906 earthquake / fire, most of the city of San Francisco was completely leveled. This place wasn't, I guess, because it was older than 1906. I think I'm saying this right. And so that makes it really old for San Francisco even.
Yeah, right. It's the ghosts. They kept it up. They held it together.
Well, yeah. And once, you know, everything gets earthquaked or burned down, they got to go and check in the Hotel Whitcomb. Where are they going to live?
So we asked the front desk lady, like, is this place haunted? And she was like,
you asked her. I'm always like, okay, I get real nervous. And you're like, excuse me. Because there was like a little bit of a line and we were checking in. You're like, hey. And then she said.
Oh, I turned into full investigative reporter.
Full on.
Like, yes, I'm over here. Like, who is the investigative reporter?
I'm all like, did we drive up here in the mystery machine? Is my name Velma? Or
oh my God. Exactly. Doobian? Exactly. So I asked her, like, is this place haunted? And I want to say she did the thing that most people that work at places that are haunted do, which is like, no, look around, no boss anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I've heard a few stories. Leans in real close. Yes. I've heard a few stories. And I remember distinctly she told
the
this story.
Sixth floor or whatever it was.
Yes, she told this story that this man that is a regular there was staying for Christmas. So this was what, March? The Christmas that just happened. She said that he was staying there. They usually give him his suite or whatever. And they were overbooked because it was Christmas, so they gave him two twin beds, like a room that had two twin beds. And she said that in the middle of the night, someone crawled into the bed that he was in.
I forgot about this.
Oh, it's fresh on my mind. And so I was terrified of that. And she said that that was on whatever floor, you know.
For some reason, I do remember something about the sixth floor. The sixth floor was supposedly the haunted one. And we weren't on the sixth floor, but then we went to investigate the sixth floor later, right?
Right.
And she even gave a room number, and I think we creepy crawled around it.
I think we did too. Because she was also, she dropped that story, and I also remember her being like, anyway, so breakfast is at 7 a.m. And I'm like, wait, wait.
Checkout time is.
Yeah. So so then we decided to you know, do our little mystery machine. What is Scooby-Doo's group called?
Mystery Machine. Our Mystery Machine Mischief. Yeah.
Yeah, we get into some mischief. I brought my EMF meter. I might have had a spirit box with me. You know, typical vacation accessories. And we, you know, kind of snooped around and we went to whatever that floor was.
Well, my thing is that, like, it's been a while because I do travel a lot for work. And I stayed in a lot of different places in like Atlanta or New York or Vancouver or San Francisco or like other places around. And I've, you know, been in a lot of hotels, but it's rare that I've been in one that even if it's old, is usually completely redone. But this actually had the old school, like, and it was nice. Let me tell you, I was expecting it to be a little bit seedier.
The hallways
are bananas. The hallways are super wide because modern hotels, you know, they want every bit of real estate. So they make, you know, the hallways narrow so the rooms can be bigger, but this had big ass rooms and a big ass hallway. The shining hallways.
Two little twin girls, you and I.
Everywhere
you turn. We did bring twin girl costumes with us, and we were holding hands at the end.
And we wore them the whole time for the elevator filled with blood. But like, there are mirrors on the walls of the hallways. It was very cinematic.
Yeah. So the cheap price to stay there, I don't want people to think like, oh, it's because it's a crappy place. No, that's full on Orbitz, not a sponsor of the show, but Orbitz hooked us up with a great deal to a great hotel.
Yeah, they did. And I loved my bed. I loved my room. Everything was great. It was just like clearly an old school, like whatever that place was. And I don't remember if it started as a hotel or it started as kind of like, you know, apartments or if it started as offices, but whatever it was, the shape of my room was unusual. It was kind of L-shaped with the bathroom and I was on the corner kind of, and I loved it. It had these two enormous old school wooden door, like crystal knob, you know, glass knob closets, which were, I wish I had those in my house, let me tell you. But that's where you whipped out what is it called? Because I'm not a professional.
I pulled out an EMF meter to, you know, check out the electromagnetic fields. And yeah, we were hovering that thing around and we weren't finding a whole lot going on.
But what you found in one of the closets in my place, it went off. Do you remember that?
A little bit. Now, of course, with stuff like that, it can, it's kind of like orbs where it's like, it can be misleading. There's a lot of different things that could be leading to spikes on an EMF.
Could it
meter.
Be my astounding, dynamic, magnetic, charismatic personality made it go off?
You have been called magnetic. It could be.
Okay. That's just because I'm negative.
But so we ended up going to whatever that floor was where it was supposed to be spooky, and we were hovering that thing around, and we found this room that was locked. I mean, listen, we were being full on snoops.
It was like a weird closety thing with a double door padlock thing. And the thing, I remember the thing going off, and we were like, beep, 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 beep. Like, because there was this like hot, let's just face it, security guard kind of like eventually kind of came up and like, but he was young and hipstery, like San Francisco security guard. He was gonna like, hey guys, or whatever he said. And so he made a real smooth thing about kind of kicking us away from there.
Right.
Like, that thing was going off.
And it like, was going off. Now, we don't know what was in that room. Maybe it was something that was transmitting, you know, waves. I'm not really sure, but it also
it was some kind of storage room.
I think it's
room.
The ghost room. I think it's where they keep the ghosts in. They padlock them. I'm not really sure.
We were like all around the hotel for a minute, and it wasn't until we were around that room is that's when the security guard was like, "Oh, hey, hi, you know, hey, dudes," or whatever he said.
And then
he was calling us.
We asked him, "Is this place haunted?" And he was like, "Oh, I just started working here."
He knew. I think that was his like catch-all excuse. I think he
exactly.
knew.
Exactly. But also on that trip, we went to the Winchester Mystery House, which is a classic California haunted location. And neither of us had ever been, right? You had never been?
No, I'd always wanted to go.
And that place, like, I was really bummed because, of course, I would have made, like, a Patreon video, but they don't allow video or
it's a very regimented inside. There's a gigantic gift shop which we took advantage of, and I amazing hat and mug I still wear all the time, and I also was another part of like, thank God I, you know, spent $500 on a cap and a mug because I didn't go anywhere touristy for another year.
I know,
barely.
Oh, look at we're on Zoom.
There it is. There it is. Hi.
Drinking out of my Winchester Mystery House coffee mug right now.
Mine is just beyond reach. It's right over there in my kitch.
That place was like the Disney store in the mall, but with only
Winchester Mystery House thing. It's a full, I don't remember how much it was. And this is not, I know this isn't like a travelogue podcast, but there were many different tours you could take. We took the basic one because they're basic bitches. Just the main house. You can do one with the garden and the outbuildings, and there was a cellar, but we were satisfied with just the main one. But like, you line up, a ticket is taken, you're put, you know, it's, I was, I'm sorry,
it's
I didn't mean to jump the
tourist
gun.
Tourist destination, like they yes. have it under control.
Yes. I thought it would be bigger. And I am, of course, an obnoxious person who lived in a Winchester Mystery House. And
right.
which was pretty big. This was, of course, bigger than the Milmetto.
But well, the
I still
house that you grew up in was how big again? How many bedrooms?
There were 22 rooms, but it also had the aspect of having been added onto a lot. So there were like windows that looked into hallways, and there were all kinds of like steps up and down and around, and rooms behind rooms, and these like a staircase you don't expect. There, I mean, again, not these were. It's the kind of house that like. The rooms were small. It wasn't one of these grand, you know, pre-Civil War houses where they had
ballrooms.
But
that's why it's such a marvel, because it's like, whoa. And anyone that doesn't know the story, the Winchester Mystery House, I've talked about it on this podcast in the past. I'm sure you could find me talking about it. But basically, this woman, Sarah Winchester,
her husband was her father or her husband was the person who was the heir, you know, the heir or the creator of the Winchester rifle fortune. Right. And a spiritualist or medium told her that if she didn't keep building onto the house, all the dead spirits that were killed by the rifles would come and get her. And she believed them. So she never stopped building and adding on and putting staircases and buildings and until she died.
And people to this day report it being very haunted. And even our tour guide had ghost stories of, oh, when you stand at this location, we've had this happen and that happen, and people get touched and they hear this and that. And
she was the bride of the guy, because otherwise, if she was the daughter, she would they would have already had the money she would know. So I think pretty sure she was the bride.
She was left a lot of money.
And he died, yeah, younger. She was young. Whatever happened, he died way before her and she inherited all this stuff. But she, I guess, wasn't super comfortable with it.
One of my favorite paranormal TV shows, Ghost Brothers, they did an investigation there and
really?
Some shit went down. Yeah, it was really interesting to see.
I
want
to see that.
I recommend it to people. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, like, the point was like that no ghosts would be there. So she built the thing to prevent ghosts from getting her, spirits or whatever. So wouldn't there be no ghosts there until, well, I guess after she died and they stopped building onto it, then the ghosts show up, the spirits show up.
Did they just take over?
Is that their logic? I don't know.
Maybe they have to keep coming up with more products at the gift shop or the ghosts will take over.
Yeah, and they also had a giant miniature of the whole property, and maybe they have that to trick the ghosts into going into the miniature. Maybe the miniature's haunted,
ooh, like
too.
Beetlejuice.
Like Beetlejuice, yes.
Exactly. Now, one other thing I'll say about this is our tour guide did a fun thing where before he would tell stories about the building, he would get everyone together and say, say it with me, story time, which I have stolen and I say constantly. And even when Rocky, my Pomeranian, has to go to the bathroom, I say, potty, potty, time.
He also kept calling Sarah his friend. He's like, my friend Sarah. It was very funny. I think he was...
Oh, yeah. He was like, let me tell you about my friend, Sarah.
I think he was in the LGBTQ community like us. And I wanted to, like, kind of flirt with him at the end. But he kind of, remember I went to talk to him. He wasn't really having it. I thought, he's going to love us. But at the end of it, he was kind of like, uh-huh. Because I was kind of like, I have an extra question. He was like, question answered and goodbye. I'm like, oh, I guess we're not dating after all. Okay.
He was super sweet. He was having a good time.
He was very sassy and very funny. He made it really fun. And it's wild. Yeah, I do recommend that whole experience.
I suppose we should talk about, like, a ghost story.
Okay.
On the Ghost Story Podcast. Okay, so a couple of stories that I know that you have that you haven't told on this show yet. Can we hear the one about your brother?
Well, the thing about that is, yeah. The thing, this is something that I only heard from my older sister Anne recently. Can I grew up in this old house called Mill Meadow, which we sold to, it's not in the family anymore. It has really good owners. Thank God. I was just back in West Virginia to help my mom after her hip operation, the first week of April. And so I drove past Mill Meadow and it's like, it looks great. And they're doing a great job. Cause when I lived there and then when I returned where my parents lived there, all the emotional stuff from a big, very, you know, dysfunctional family, you feel that more. You can't just tell what's that and what's the spirits, you know? And it's all pretty connected because my grandfather died there and it was just a lot. So
you did have somebody breathe on your neck one time.
Yeah, I've
right?
had a few little experiences, but the thing that I had told you that I haven't said on the podcast yet is that my brother Michael, who still lives back in that town, my sister Ann told him, and I didn't hear this from his mouth because he's not really, it's a long story. I mean, he's alive. It's just we haven't spoken in a while. But he used to experience a spirit of a woman who was this orange presence. The color was orange. And Michael's always been, he's had a lot of issues, but he's always apparently been more in tune with the other side than I was and some of the other siblings. And my older sister, Anne, is too. She's the one, when we moved out, she and her partner did a cleansing and all kinds of shit came flying out of there. She's like, it was just a profound and very wild experience. That place was filled with energies and spirits, the whole place. But this particular one was a caretaking female spirit he would experience in this one room. We would call it the green room. It was only because the color was green. We would refer to it as the green room, not to be confused with a theater or, you know, or nightclub green room or the guest room. And it would go from one of the middle bedroom through the hallway into that room. And my brother always got the sense that it was a female spirit who was there to help take care of the children. And I don't know if that was a servant that used to be there or a mother that died or what this spirit was, but he always made him feel very safe and comforted. And my older sister, who also has more of an, an affinity, a vibe, a talent, a gift for sensing, for extrasensory perception in a few ways, not like making things move or telling the future, but just like a real deep sensitivity to especially the earth and to animals. But she felt that like that was, you know, that this presence and my brother did helped take care of us as kids and made us less afraid and maybe protected us from these other spirits that had, that when Anne and her partner helped cleanse the house and purge the house after my mother moved out, but before the new couple took it over, a lot of that felt very dark and a lot of it was very intense. And, you know, I always wonder how much of that stuff impacted us as kids, because you understand my father, that house, it's separate from the farm that like, that I grew, that my, it's been in our family since the 1940s. The Mill Meadow had only been, my father moved and he was a little kid. So he grew up there. I grew up there. But before that, for a while, it was a guest house, which I guess now you call it like an a bed and breakfast. So it was that for a while. And I have a book somewhere, which like the entire history of the house, which was first, the main part of it was first built in the 1790s. So, you know, who knows what kind of people passed through that building when it was the guest house. And, you know, this is a key that I'm wearing around my neck. I'm showing Roz this key I have on a chain around my neck, which is a key that I took from Mill Meadow before we moved, which was a key to one of the bedrooms left over from the times of when it was like a bed and breakfast, a guest house.
Wow.
Now, when I was back there last week, there's another house, this old farmhouse that my grandfather was born in, that my brother is redoing up on our family farm. And that would be an interesting place. It looks gorgeous now. It was kind of run down, but my brother's done an amazing job of restoring it and renovating it. And it's going to be the place where we go and stay, because there's too many of us just to stay at my mom's new house, which is small. So I'm curious, you know, when I go there this summer, I should probably, you know, do a little ghost check up there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of shit went down on that farm, you know. Well, and then across the road where my cousins live now is the house that was, and my cousin David, we ran into him when I was up there at this house. We call it the White House, not to be confused with the president's home, but it's another old White House. And that White House was built, you know, in the like early 1800s, but the big house across the road, which has been in the family since the 1750s, is that old. Parts of it are that old. So there's all kinds of fucking history there.
Well, West Virginia is like hotbed for paranormal activity of all sorts. Yeah. I mean, of course, the Mothman is also West Virginia. There's multiple famous prisons that are haunted there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And the State Mental Hospital in Weston, that was a big, it's not the State Mental Hospital anymore, but like it was a big, scary place. I remember.
Wait,
that.
Is that the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum?
Yes, I think so. Is that if it's in Weston, the town of Weston?
Because
growing up, the shorthand for crazy house, and sorry to use that term, which I know isn't politically correct, but the loony bin short term back when I was growing up was Weston. My mama would say things like, "If that ever happens to me again, you just take me down to Weston. Just drop me off at Weston. Like, take me to Weston was like, take me to the loony bin."
You know what's crazy, Sam? That place is like one of the very like sought after paranormal investigation places. Oh my God.
I had to look that up.
My friend Katrina Weidman from the TV show Portals to Hell and other TV shows, she was doing an investigation there and caught on camera. I believe this is when she was on one of the other TV shows, maybe Paranormal Lockdown. They captured, and you can find a video on YouTube, like what she calls a creeper or a creepy crawler, like some kind of little creature that like is something paranormal, but completely unexplainable. Doesn't look like a human, like really creepy. I'm
getting shivers. Why did you put that in my brain?
Take you to Weston. You know, what's another one I was wondering about is I remember a couple months back, you went to the Biltmore Hotel and you came back and you told me that you had a possible paranormal experience.
You emailed me that, and I hate to say this, but yeah, I was having a little fling with a gentleman that came out to visit me last summer.
Well, Biltmore is another famous paranormal location here in Los Angeles. People say that, you know, it's one of the 50 places that the Black Dahlia was last seen.
Yeah.
And they say that they see her there, among other
spirits. I weirdly had never been in there, and so this was in August when this guy came out, and we were just like, it was a very, you know, fun, sexy week where we stayed at a couple different places, including the Biltmore for 3 nights. And I had never been there. Weirdly, because there's so much shooting, so much filming that goes on there now, and I just never had been in there. And it's just a giant, amazing place. It had just reopened in the summer. There are very few people staying there, but for some reason, we were like, to get from the lobby, which is enormous, to our rooms was like up and over and down and around. And again, the rooms are really nice. We got one that like looked inward to, like, you know, as you get to see the other rooms, because it's another one of those that's shaped like an H or whatever, and or a you know, a square with empty insides, like my brain. But so we weren't looking out, but yeah, I just remember there was like weird noises in the night in the bathroom, but some of that was like, is it plumbing? Is it? And he and I were busy doing things. So like it was just a, you know, all the story of this story. So like there was a lot going on anyway, and it was a really intense time for me. But I can't think of anything right off the top that happened other than the weird sounds and everything.
I thought you told me there was like a toilet seat situation.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, the toilet seat was that's right. The toilet seat was up and down because he was like, did you put it down? Did you put it up? Because it would just fall down. You would put it up because we're two guys, and so they're both up because of peeing. Heard of it? So it just like in the middle of the night would fall down without any apparent, that's what it was, without any apparent, you know, it wasn't like there was anything else moved. It wasn't like there was a draft or a door opening, but it would just crash in the middle of the night. And like, why then instead of another time?
That to me, I mean, I don't know exactly what kind of toilet seat we're talking here, but most of the time, if you have it all the way up, it's not going to just fall.
Just not randomly.
No, no, no. Like, I've had a toilet seat that's like kind of like a cheaper plastic apartment one, where if you don't put it up all the way, like, it could eventually fall back down.
This was not like that. This was these old school, like, been there since God knows when, since the Biltmore is old. Like, when you flush it, it's like, talk about the gates to hell. It's like, whew, you know, like that kind of thing. This big old place. And I just remember it didn't do it any other time, but a couple times in the middle of the night. And it just, do you know, and maybe some of it's just in my mind, but it felt deliberate and like, gotcha. You know, just like something about when that shit happens. Uh-huh. It just felt weird. Yeah.
I'm calling that a ghost story.
Okay, sure. I mean, I remember the guy I was with, who we're not really in communication anymore. He very much felt like, oh, that's fucked up. Ghost shit. Yeah.
I'm counting it.
Counting it.
I wanted to read a story with you that somebody sent me.
Okay.
I will say this is kind of like today's episode is, you know, a little bit looser than our usual, you know, we're telling stories, not 100% ghost adjacent stories is kind of the theme of today, ghost adjacent.
Sure.
But somebody sent me this story and I was like, this story is fucking terrifying.
Oh, great.
But not necessarily ghosty, maybe a little ghosty. I don't know.
Okay.
But I just wanted to tell you the story. Okay. This came from Diane, a listener of the show. Shout out to Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Okay. So Diane writes, so my ex-husband used to work as a skip tracer for Sears credit card. He had been trying to contact a customer who had stopped paying his bill to no avail. So he called that customer's neighbor to try to get information about the customer.
Okay.
The neighbor was practically hysterical when the ex called. She said that her neighbor was crazy and really weird. He'd just gotten into a fight or something and chased his boyfriend naked down the street, and the cops didn't do anything about it. She said that she kept trying to tell the cops that there was something wrong with him, but they ignored her plea to arrest him.
Wow.
The customer Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh.
The product he'd stopped paying for on his credit card,
oh,
a
no.
refrigerator.
Holy shit. Diane. Wow.
I mean, we're not really a murder podcast here, but that's just a scary
upsetting.
Story.
Ooh, I got the shivers.
Do you want to hear some EVPs?
Evie, please.
Okay, it's time for
EVPs
or EVPs. You know how this works. I go to YouTube. I find electronic voice phenomenal. And I'm going to play you a couple and we're going to guess what these ghosts are saying, what you hear, what the people that are posting it believe. You know, just tell me what you hear. This first one is from Curtis Paranormal on YouTube, and it's at the Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Ooh.
And that's in Weston, West Virginia.
Does it say Weston?
It does, yeah.
Okay, good that it is the one I'm thinking of.
So, what does this say? It's a whispery.
I just heard.
That sounds like when they put that like vacuum thing in your mouth at the dentist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let me try again.
Do it again. Do it again. Okay. Do it again.
It's kind of. It's like almost long.
It's like a two part. Dancing akatu. That's what I heard. I heard words.
Dancing.
I heard the human. Huh?
You heard dancing.
Yeah.
I heard that too.
Akatu. Yeah,
What if it's Ted Danson? What if it's
what
a
if
fan?
What if it's Manson? Because Manson, you know, grew up in West Virginia.
Oh, God.
And he was in jail there.
Okay, here's some options. Is it A, don't say anything? B, Beyonce's everything?
Oh, okay.
C, you don't say? Or D, Dos Equis drink responsibly? Whatever happened to the Dos Equis guy? I was just thinking about him.
Most interesting man in the world? Is that who that was?
Yes.
Maybe he died.
Okay.
I don't know. He okay. was a fictional character, Roz.
All right. Here, I'll play it again.
Okay. Right. It's definitely don't say anything.
I think it's don't say anything, okay?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was creepy. That's real.
Creepy. Here's one.
That's
more.
One of the ones I hear. That sounds more like a human voice than a lot of them I've heard.
I know. This one is from COTN Paranormal. It's at the Moundsville Penitentiary.
Oh, yeah. It's in Moundsville. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the northern part of the state.
Yeah, exactly. In West Virginia.
I've seen that from the outside. It is grim and, you know, so Industrial Revolution stone American monolith. Like, it's so creepy and scary.
Well, it's also haunted.
No
so
bad.
Tell me what this one you think says. Okay, this one like really fades low and it's like kind of quiet. It's a hard one, but we're gonna try.
I just heard again. I heard Dennis vacuum.
I hear like, damn, nah, nah.
I didn't hear that.
Well, I'll give you some options. I'll put one of these in your ear and see what you think.
Okay.
Is it A, I swallowed it?
Uh-oh.
B, I swear. C, let's talk. No, sorry. Let's walk. Or D, let's guac. You know, like when they give you the guac and you're like, not so
oh,
much.
I wonder which one Roz made up. I can't tell.
Oh, I made up three of them. So, okay, which one is the real one?
I just heard.
It's let's walk. I can kind of hear it.
I think maybe just maybe it coming through your thing into my ears is the problem for
I
me.
Know, I know. We're still
but
not
do it
in
again.
The studio. Okay. Let's walk.
I didn't hear it, but I trust you. I trust
you. All right, Evie, please.
Please.
All right, let's do one more thing. I like to just list off a bunch of unexplained phenomena. And I just wanted to kind of rapid fire have you tell me just thoughts, you know, comments,
feelings,
concerns,
desire,
what comes up for you, what fears. Do you believe in it, you know, any of that stuff. All okay. Right. And maybe this will lead to something else. It doesn't have to necessarily be rapid fire. All right, here we go. Bigfoot, what do you think?
No.
You don't
I think it's been debunked enough that it's not. I just think the deforestation and the like the because the one in the suit that was already been proven that was made up, and I don't have hopes about him or the Loch Ness Monster. Though, believe me, I want to believe.
But
I
what
was
if
raised on Bigfoot.
But them being paranormal, like, what if they have the ability to vanish? Or...
Oh, well, that's true. I never thought of the cryptozoology being also a supernatural phenomenon. Okay, fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, what about psychics?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know if there's we need to get into this, because you and I have...
You've sent me some of the worst psychics I've... ever experienced, and I've had a slew of psychic readings, and almost nothing has been accurate except for some past life stuff where I don't know, and I can do stand up about psychics. I still believe that there are people out there who have the ability, and it's one of those things where, you know, some people have, you know, they're going to have you for an hour. 4 minutes is accurate, and the rest is kind of them making up and being a little grifty about it.
Well, and that's the thing with psychics is like, sometimes they're more accurate for you. And like, I think that maybe the connection can be stronger with other people. It's just like almost like your internet or something. I don't know. Sometimes the connection is stronger.
I have a friend who, you know, who is someone who can afford to go to the latest, most expensive one.
Uh-huh.
And this person went to one and it was all over the phone or maybe Zoom. I think it was the phone. And this person, the psychic didn't know who this person was, even though this is a person who is in the land of famous. But they, so I think it was on the phone. It was on the phone and fake name. So couldn't Google. And it was a mind, like really crazy what this person just knew about their life in terms of the family, the background, the this and that. You feel this because of that. That was all accurate. But it was all to say, you know, what does that do really? It just confirms this person knows this stuff about you. But like, what it doesn't do necessarily is say, here's what's going to happen in a month. Here's, you know, no one, I think anyone legit, because a free will is anyone legit's not going to say, you're going to meet that man, that special person, woman, man on, you know, July 27th, 2021, you know.
At least not in my price range.
No, exactly.
But you know what's funny is I actually on Patreon, I did a video like a month or so ago where already things in it have gone wrong. All right. Some more unexplained phenomena. Are Crocs back?
I had to tell you, yes. But also for some people, I found out they've never went away. I know some guys in their 20s. A guy or two in their 20s who have been wearing them since they were kids and they've never let them go.
Yeah.
And I saw this pair because I was showing my friend I'm talking about one of them. I was like, look, put on my Crocs to do some gardening. I've had these since 2005 because those boogers do not give up. They are, you have to melt them. You would have to walk through a combine thresher and get your feet hacked up in them to destroy them.
What about demonic possession? Is that real?
They are also back. They're back better than ever. and they're not going anywhere. What about demonic possessions? I listened to a really good podcast called You're Wrong About That I love. And they did a deep dive on demonic possessions and how much of that is mental illness in cultures and places would ever take someone to a psychiatrist or a counselor to be like, oh, that's schizophrenia. That's, you know, manic behavior. There might be drugs involved that people aren't saying, you know,
like, when especially in past generations, you know, when there really wasn't conversations
completely, all those different things. So I learned a whole, and that was just recently I listened to it. So I learned a whole lot about that and about how the Catholic Church dealt with it. And like, and there are like anything, a couple of cases where you're like, wow, this seems like something was really up. I don't know what, but...
And also, that's what we're here to talk about. I mean, that's the stuff that keeps this whole party going.
You know, like, think of a church. Think of a they're called like the charismatic churches where people speak in tongues and dance around and sing and shout and get so worked up into a tizzy, into a frenzy, a legit frenzy because of their own issues or just the crowd, the mass hysteria, the mob sort of thing. And if it's just like one person, you know, I know I can work myself up into it being just ranting and raving and screaming if I wanted to. Like I am definitely capable of that. I don't have that thing called racing thoughts where like I can control my thoughts. I can stop and be like, pull your shit together if I'm sober. But some people can't because their brain chemistry doesn't work that way. So, you know, and a lot of it was kind of like, you know, who's getting the attention and is that what this is all about? But then there are some cases where, you know, truly, what the F, what happened here? Unexplained.
Okay, last unexplained phenomena. Why am I not famous?
I almost said a mean, really good joke, but I didn't say it. First of all, you are. Second of all, you're like 14 years old, so cool it. You have to really fucking put the work in. Honey, why am I not famous? I'm 500 years old. I've been here since 1793. You tell me.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure that one out. Sam, that's about it for now.
No.
Thanks for doing this again.
You're welcome.
We need to go on more ghost adventures when it's time.
Yeah,
time
we
to
need
get
to
out.
Plot out. Yeah,
Vegas.
I went to the Madonna Inn a couple weeks ago, and like we didn't do any ghost hunting, me and my gentleman friend. But like, you and I have to go someplace and not stay the night and do some ghost hunting. I mean, I don't want to be in the place like that time you were in that place and you left in the middle of the night. I'm not up for that. I'm not going to leave the room.
I don't want to do that ever again. No. The only way I'll do that is if the person I'm with will stay up all night.
No, I won't do that either.
I know.
I need my 8 hours. You know, if I don't have 8 hours, I'm a real bastard.
Tell everyone, you know, where to find you and everything.
Oh, I'm. You can find me on Instagram at TheSamPancake, TheSamPancake, on Twitter at JSamPancake. You can follow me on Facebook. And my podcast is called Sam Pancake Presents the Monday Afternoon Movie. And it's about supernatural, ghosty horror things. I cover me and a friend, a hilarious friend, Roz has done it twice, sit down and talk about View separately and then get together and talk about a TV horror movie from the late 60s, 70s, and 80s. And they're usually really campy and trashy and hilarious and good, bad. And we just talk about that. And you can find that wherever pods are cast.
So fun. Well, thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to Sam. Go to patreon.com/RozDresVelez to hear Sam and I telling that story about encountering a murderer and to see my most recent video of me talking about eBay dolls. Please join the Facebook group too, Ghosted by RozDresVelez. The group, there's also a page. You can like the page if you want, but there's a group, great place to leave ghost stories. Another great place is in a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you're subscribed. Tell your friends about the show. I'm on Cameo, cameo.com/RozDresVelez. Instagram, Roz Hernandez. And, I should tell you who's going to be on next week. I worked it out, and I talked to Butch Patrick, who famously played Eddie Munster on The Munsters and lived in a haunted house. So look out for that next week. And, I think that's it for now. So, I love you all, both living and dead.
But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye!
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.